Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart.
And welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air on WVLP 103.1 FM and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. This is our weekly program covering arts and arts events in Valparaiso and throughout Northwest Indiana. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, right alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City.
Aloha, everyone.
We're your hosts for Art on the Air. Our theme music you heard is by Billy Foster with a vocal by Renee Foster. Underwriters for Art on the Air are Valparaiso University's Brower Museum, regional art patron Mary Levan, and our landlord, Walt Breidinger of Paragon Investments. If you'd like to find out more about leasing space in this historic building, please give Walt a call, 219-462-5821. I'd like to thank them for their generous support. Thanks to Greg Kovach, WVLP's station manager, and Tom Maloney, vice president, radio operations for Lakeshore Public Radio. Art in the Air is supported by an Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project grant through South Shore Arts and is part of the National Endowment for the Arts. If you're interested in being a guest or sending us information about your arts, arts-related event, or exhibit, please email us at artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. That's artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. Our program, along with all of our programs, are streaming live at wvlp.org. Art on the Air is rebroadcast on Monday at 5 p.m. Our entire show archive can be heard at our website, breck.com/AOTA. That's breck, BRECH.com/AOTA. You'll also find our detailed arts calendar at breck.com/AOTA. Our shows are carried by Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM, every Sunday at 7 p.m., and you can hear them at lakeshorepublicradio.org. And make sure to like us on our Facebook page, Art on the Air, WVLP. Art on the Air is always looking for financial support. We'd like to thank our current supporters. If you're looking to support Art on the Air and, of course, the WVLP station, we'd be happy to become part of the WVLP family anytime. Esther and I especially would invite you to become an underwriter of this program in particular. We have information on our website at breck.com/AOTA. You can find out support information there or at wvlp.org/support. We have underwriter levels at various levels. You can support us. We'll mention you during our show and throughout the WVLP broadcast day. You know, we encourage you to become part of a supporter because we are supported by our listeners. So don't just be a WVLP and Art on the Air listener. Become a supporter or underwriter in whatever amount you're able to do so we continue to bring you great content and this great local programming. And like I say every week, don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good. And you'll feel so good about supporting Art on the Air and the whole WVLP family. Join the WVLP family today. And now with our spotlight segment for Art in the Air, we have Artsy Fine Arts and Antiques in Chesterton. And first up, we have Bridget Nadolsky. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Well, thank you.
Well, first off, I wanted to say happy two-year anniversary.
Oh, thank you. Yes, it is. July 20th will be our anniversary.
How wonderful.
So tell us what's going on now. We're kind of crawling out of the COVID-19, and I know you've been shut down, but you're now kind of reopening and events and things like that. So give us a rundown on that, Bridget.
Well, we're excited to be opening back up. We are asking for our customers to please use a face mask when they come in. We are open from Wednesday to Saturdays now, from 10 to 2. And we're excited to show off the art, especially since a lot of the art fairs have been canceled in the area. So we're hoping to enrich our community with art, and the art that they'll be missing at these fairs, they can come see it at Artsy.
Do you have new artists?
We have a couple new artists. We have one gal named Rebecca Bell, who is new to us, who is making beautiful acrylic pour coasters right now. She's one of the new ones.
Bridget, are you doing anything online, like showing your pieces on there?
We are. We are on Facebook. You can see us at Artsy Fine Arts and Antiques on Facebook. We post all our events.
You should probably spell that out because it's not like it sounds.
Oh, okay. It's ARTZ for Art Spine, and then Art Z, and Antiques ends with a Z instead of an S as well.
So I've been seeing your little videos about when you're open and things like that. So what hours are you running right now as you're kind of coming out of this COVID-19 thing?
We're starting on Wednesday through Saturday, 10 to 2 right now.
Okay. And so you've tried to have some events. Do you have anything coming in the future as far as events?
We do. We have an estate sale coming, and I'm going to pass my phone over to my business partner, Kathy DeLeo, for that.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Kathy. Tell us about the estate sale.
Okay, so our details are we are going to start with having estate sales, and we're going to try to do it once a month on a Saturday. I'm thinking the third Saturday of the month, second or third Saturday, but our first one is going to be July 18th, and it's going to be from 9 to 4.
Okay, and that's right there on Calumet where your shop is.
Absolutely. We have a huge room, and we do have a basement as well. So we're going to be having some antiques and some collectibles, a lot of great stuff.
Hey, tell us how you've been surviving during COVID-19. I know the shop has mostly had to been shut down, and Bridget just talked about doing some stuff online, but how's that affected you, like, personally? What have you been doing to deal with the pandemic?
Well, I think that we've been staying safe, and we've been trying to help people sell things for them. So I've been having them put their things outside their door and picking them up and putting things online. So we've been doing some, you know, service by picking things up at the door or just so that people can just keep moving. I noticed that things seem to sell online more now than actually, you know, people getting out and about because they're still a little nervous.
You're open like now Wednesday through Saturday. What are the hours again?
10 to 2.
10 to 2. And what's your plans for reopening back to your normal schedule?
Well, what we've been doing is on Saturday, we have one of our artists come in and set up a tent outside. So that's, you know, a small way where people are outside and they can come and see some of our great stuff. And then we're sending people in slowly down the hallway to our art gallery in the back, and they're able to come in slowly. So we're using a process where we think everybody feels comfortable.
Right. And you're requiring masks to come in there too, aren't you?
We are, absolutely. If somebody doesn't want to use a mask, we ask that they shop maybe outside, you know, so that they can have the opportunity of, you know, seeing some of our great stuff. But we do recommend it.
Very good. So we have about a minute left. Tell us what the plans are for, you're going to have like kind of a grand pandemic reopening, you think?
Yes, we definitely are. We're going to figure out what day where we can all feel like we're somewhat back to normal. Then we're going to have like a grand reopening, like a ceremony. And hopefully we'll have a lot more things to offer for the community.
We told Bridget, or Esther said, it's your 2-year anniversary. How are you feeling about the shop running?
Oh, we think it's doing fantastic. We are very excited. We're excited that our community is supporting us. And everybody's asking about the classes because they're happy to get back to it. But we just have to do it safely. So
that's true. And Bridget briefly mentioned, I think, that you're planning maybe to do some classes outdoors if possible.
Correct. We have a little garden center in the back. It's very lovely. And Bridget has it set up really nice. So she'll make sure that everybody's social distancing and, you know, the instructor will, you know, wear a mask and be able to help people out. So it'll work out great.
Great, Kathy. Well, that's Kathy DeLeo and Bridget Nadalski from Artsy Fine Arts and Antiques at 206 South Calumet, and how they're dealing with the pandemic and how they're breaking out from it. Thank you for being on Art on the Air Spotlight.
Thank you.
Oh, great.
So much.
Thank you for having us.
You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM.
And now on Art in the Air, we have Michelle Centelic. She's a wonderful photographer right here from Northwest Indiana, started in Cedar Lake and lives in Crown Point and has a great little studio, but she also does some very artistic things. Michelle, welcome to Art on the Air.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Aloha, Michelle.
Well, we always like to start with your journey in life and kind of like where you were and how you got from there to now. So kind of tell us like where you grew up, what your influences are, and then, of course, we'll talk a little bit more about your professional development.
Yeah, so I grew up in Cedar Lake, and I live here in Crown Point now, but I grew up in Cedar Lake, and I was an art kid. I went to Crown Point High School. I took every single art class they had, and actually, they actually made up some for me. They gave me a couple extra classes and kept me loose with coming up with my own projects. So that was pretty amazing that they did that. But somewhere in there, I found the love for photography. I loved Peter Lindbergh's work and Vogue magazines, which, you know, back then I was probably the only kid I knew that even cared about magazines like that, while everyone else was busy with sports and other things. So I started working for Ted Wahlberg, and it was great. It was such a great experience for me because he was a PPA, which is Professional Photographers of America. He is a PPA master photographer and craftsman, and a local legend, I guess, too, because he photographed everybody, everyone you had. And I was fortunate enough to show up one day and ask for a job. And it was pretty interesting because the first thing he asked me, you know, after rambling for a little bit, was if I knew what an F-stop was. So we kind of stopped and laughed. I did tell him, yes, I did. And then he said, whatever you think you know, forget it, because I'm going to teach you what it really is. And that's kind of how the whole thing started.
Well, before we get off on Ted, tell us a little about what Ted did with his business and everything. I know we've actually probably met a couple times in it, but tell us especially about his business and everything and that kind of...
So Ted Wahlberg not only photographed family portrait, senior portrait, corporate, that thing. He photographed proms, large events. And the thing he specialized in was panoramic photography. So I'm sure there's a lot of people that have that, you know, the high school senior photo or the theater group. They would have all that big, giant, rectangle panoramic photo. Well, Ted used a camera that was re-engineered by his brother, Fred Wahlberg, and it was over 100 years old, and it was called a circuit camera. So what would happen is we would set it up. We'd either have risers or, in the theater case, you know, have all the actors set up. And he would start the camera, and it would move from one side all the way to the other side. And Ted would be on a bullhorn, and he would tell everyone, you know, don't move, keep looking, keep looking. And he was a showman. He told me that to get those done right, you needed to keep the attention and the connection of all the people, you know, at that camera. And it was pretty amazing. I mean, it was a great thing to watch someone like that work, because he didn't just, quote, click the button. He really was an amazing person.
Well, and so one story I'll share with the audience that you know about, when I was at Munster, our theater tradition was one of the things you could do with this camera, because it did actually a slow scan of everyone, is you could have someone on one end and they would run to the other end and be on it. And before I went there, some kid did that accidentally or on purpose. We made that a theater tradition, so we always had one of our people on both ends of the photograph, and he loved that that aspect of it. And I remember him talking, and he would talk them through it, like you said, very showman-like, and says, all right. And so our kids has always loved getting their panoramic photo.
Well, do you remember when he would say, all right, don't move, because if you move, you'll be out of focus.
Yeah, you'll be a blur.
Yeah. And then he'd say, but I bet some of you are already out of focus. And then afterwards, everyone would laugh really big. It was great. It was really great. But I was the person that got to be the right-hand man and set up the camera and measure things. I got to jump in there, help pose people, get it all ready, get the film ready for him. And then one thing on top of that I did, where he took my education a step further, was that I worked for him in his professional lab. So I was the person actually developing and printing these panoramics, as well as, you know, the prom stuff. So it was pretty amazing. It was magic. You know, it was film. So we watched it. We went out there. We photographed it. We came back and developed it. And it was pretty amazing.
You can't get that kind of education in school. I mean, how wonderful.
You know, that's where a lot of things are now, is that people, you know, they get to log in, they get to watch these great classes online, take a bunch of notes, and, you know, practice on their own. And what I hear from a lot of my friends in the industry is that I'm almost a rare thing now, because I grew up in the industry. I've been doing this 27 years now. That's how long I've been involved in photography full-time as a professional. So everything that I can do to pass that knowledge on, that's completely what I'm focused on.
Before we get off the panoramic, the way they do it now is certainly different and cheaper. You can do that with a series of, and I know this happened after Ted passed away and the people that took over his business. You can now use like a digital camera and you make a series of photos and then you can digitally stitch them together. I know I've done panoramics and other things like that. And so, and of course, it's a lot cheaper because you can go back and do that like a couple times and it's just a digital file. And I imagine the film, the amount of film you used for that, because that was like a large format camera that then rolled that film.
The exact size of the panoramic, so it could be, let's say, 10 inches by 20 inches, that was the exact size of the film.
Right.
So the film itself was very large, and it got all of the detail, and it actually had taken from the time digital started all the way till now, all these years later, for it to catch up to the clarity of large format film.
Right. And you and I share a camera that we both love, the Canon 5DSR, yes. So which is a 50 megapixel. So
yes, that's the only one I use in my studio and definitely what I use with my portrait clients and for all of my dancers, my art projects.
Well, let's talk a little bit about maybe the craftsmanship you've learned from him before we move on to your work. So just some of the details of what Ted taught you, which may be interesting to budding photographers.
Well, the details that he taught me, I mean, back in the day when it was film, something that Ted taught me was that everything should be done intentionally. You should plan out what it was you wanted to photograph. You needed, obviously, to test some things, but make sure you know your lighting. Make sure you know your posing. I remember as a kid sitting there thinking that, you know, I would be good when I owned a Hasselblad, which is a very expensive medium format camera. And Ted, being Ted, made me make the shoebox camera. So that project, people can look it up on YouTube how to do it. So he made me make the shoebox camera, and we went out, and he made me shoot with it. I took pictures with it and came back and developed it. So it basically, his big lesson was, if you understand your craft, it's not about the equipment. Now, of course, you and I have a really, really fancy professional camera now, but I could probably take the same picture with a lesser camera because I understand all of the elements involved. He told me that nothing happens overnight. If you are going to dedicate yourself to the craft, if you're going to work very hard, that there is no giving up. If you can do that, then you can become a master. And he was right.
That's true. And one thing we talked about in our pre-interview is there are people I call equipment photographers who are mostly about the equipment. Oh, look, I've got the this camera and this lens and everything. And they don't know about the art and craft, the photography and everything like that. So let's explore.
And there's so much more involved. I mean, you're literally painting with light. And if you can understand light, you know, the very fundamental of photography, if you can look at your subject and see how it's touching them and exactly how to pose someone, I mean, these are the elements of it. There's a lot more than just the particular camera, and there's a lot more than just, you know, people. A lot of people come in, and I'll take some pictures, and they always laugh and say, wow, that was really quick. You just clicked the button. And I smile and thank them and show them their picture, and they're very excited. But what they don't realize is that it only took me a few minutes because it took me 27 years of experience to know how to just click the button.
Right. Setting the lights up, if you're using flash or hot lights or, I know the pre-work is always, and again, we talked about how I used to see my PR pictures on chroma key, and that's a whole art in and of itself. But the trick was you set up the lights. And then we would do the costumes. And the other thing I did, I think I remember I shared with you, is that a lot of times the girls would forget to put makeup on or the guys weren't shaved, and I would have to take them to Photoshop and make them up and shave them in Photoshop. So,
and you know, and that's the thing too. It's like there's a lot of, I mean, I love the technology. I do love digital because, like we were saying, the camera I use now is the equivalent of using medium format film. So that's, you know, pretty amazing in itself. But with all of that, you really do need to make sure you have a really good team. So like at my studio, I have professional hair. I have professional makeup artists. We talk about wardrobe. It's like if all of those elements can be done prior, you know, you're fixing a lot less in Photoshop. You're relying less on that.
I think we all photographers, good photographers, will agree that the most you can do in the camera prior to it, I spend tons of time in Photoshop, but I mean getting it right as you click the button, when you set everything else up, and I do more wildlife and outdoor photography, as well as portraits and things, but the more you do in advance, the better off you are, so.
Well, there was a really great thing. Some artists actually do this, and not just photographers. There's a lot of other artists that will, well, actually a lot of musicians, they will put imposed limits on themselves, so like constraints, which will force them to think through the next moves. And that way, over time, you're doing everything intentionally. So you're not just taking a million pictures and hoping one of them works. You're taking, let's say, 20 pictures and 18 of them are phenomenal. So that's when you start really limiting things, you know, it's interesting what happens when you push yourself.
Exactly. Well, one other question or thing I was going to say is I used to say in the day of 36 exposures, usually we got maybe 5 good pictures, and if you were lucky, 1 really good picture that everything came out all right. Of course, in the digital era, that's not quite the same because well, with digital, you can keep clicking. I know I do that now. I do multiple, almost in-camera dudes with very slight changes in composition or things like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you can go and, you know, pick it. But, you know, when you're shooting film, every time, well, even 35-millimeter days, every push of the shutter was a buck.
I remember one time working with Ted, and we had his daughter came in, and she had a project for college, and I asked him if I could photograph it because, again, for years I worked – you know, right-hand man, he taught me so much. And I asked him, I said, can I photograph this for your daughter? And he said, yes. And then he looked at me and he goes, now you know, you have to get it done in 12 frames. And I said, that's it? He goes, I'm giving you 1 roll of film. Can you get it done in 12 frames? And that was scary. I remember my heart was pounding and I said, you know what? Yeah, I can. So, so I think in reality, we use 2 rolls of film, 24 frames, but we got it.
You know, speaking on a different aspect of it, you know, when you're actually working with the models, and I noticed on your website that you do headshots as well as portraits, and then you have the whole dance series. And
yes.
Working with lots of photographers myself, do you have a few favorite techniques that you use to put your subject at ease? And because I've seen things really, really tank. You can't get the shot because you haven't connected necessarily with the subject.
You know, that's a good question, because one thing I truly believe in, and this does go all the way back to my TED years, that if you connect with your subject, you know, that's what you pull through. However, what I've learned is having the consultation with my, you know, clients to speak with them, but to listen to them, because they will tell you what it is that they want. They'll tell you, you know, right away what things will make them uncomfortable. So it's my job to convince someone to trust me, because I am not going to, you know, fail anyone. I'm not going to let them look terrible. It's just not going to happen. So after we can sit and talk and they have a good experience, because again, with my portrait work and even the corporate people or professional branding, as we like to say, you know, they're having the whole experience. So they're getting to experience an entire team, which there's a lot of people that will say, you know, to me, you know, like, oh, no, I won't look like the women on TV. I don't look like the models in the magazines. And they'll say, or I don't even look like the dancers. I'm like, well, number one, you know, dancers are completely different, you know. And number two, the difference between regular people and people on TV is that they have a team working for them all day long. So when you come here, you're going to have my team, and they're going to take care of you, and then I get to take care of you. So all of that conversation, everything is helping them get to the point that when the minute they're in front of my camera, the minute everything gets quiet, it's me and them. And then I also, it's my own personality, I guess. I can sit there and feel, you know, I can feel what's going on. And I project my own energy, which brings out the best energy to them. Because, you know, it could be, you know, it's my artwork. You know, it's everything that I do. It's my style. However, it's about the client. It's about the subject. I need to make them the best versions of themselves so that they can you know, look at the picture and see how extraordinary they are. Doesn't matter who it is. Doesn't matter if it's a, like you said, a corporate headshot or, you know, a 40-year-old woman, or when I'm working with the dancers, people that are very, very strict on themselves, they need to be able to connect with me, take direction, and then understand it, but then see themselves. And the minute I can show them that, like right in the beginning, and they know I got you, that's it. The whole rest of the photo shoot is good because they trust. They know
You did say the key point, listening. And then I can already tell that the person you mentored under had a great sense of humor, which also is complimentary.
Yeah.
Ted was really something else, that's for sure. Well, tell us about some of the other projects you're doing beyond, you know, kind of your professional portraiture. You're working on several different things. Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay. So the one thing I'm working on right now that is my entire heart is my studio dance model team. It's like, we weren't really sure what to name it, but that's what we've been calling it. Because for a few years now, I've been wanting to do a few different art pieces and plan it out, but I didn't want to use different people every time. And I thought to myself, wait a minute, if I have auditions, if I have, you know, applications, have meetings, and if I select dancers, which I love so very much, if I select the right group and put them together, then for like this project, there's going to be four photo shoots, you know, within a year's time. Each one of them, the shoot is highly stylized. So you get my entire team, storyboards, everything we're laying out. But then, like today, so I met with our dance team, which I have to say their names, you know, Olivia, Maddie, Gabby, Elise, Madeline, Evelyn, and Quinn, who are just darlings. They are from 413 Dance Academy and Origins Dance Academy here in Crown Point. Well, they know of me. I have photographed them before for other things. When we put the call out for this, you know, this age group was one that I wanted to focus on because they're younger. They're the youngest is 10 and the oldest is about to be 13. So today we met and I said, okay, darlings, here's what we're doing. I'm like, you're going to be statues. And they all looked at each other, and I told them that not only these amazing poses that Annie Vassar, 413, she's my technical director on this, we came up with these poses, one for each dancer, and it's going to be amazing. And I told them that the whole thought is that because dancers are people that show emotion through movement, I said, imagine if you had to stay still and you couldn't move and you were a statue. And they understood this. I said, and then we put them in the pose. And I said, now imagine that you're holding this for so long, but your creative soul has had enough and you need to break through it. And that's the moment of movement. And so after we discussed this and they understood, and I guess this goes back to your question about connection, I've explained to them the story. I know the emotion involved. We have music that I really want them to listen to really get into it. And then I showed them that what we're going to do with mixed media, we're going to put a mixture on them that's going to, like, dry, and it's going to look like clay. So they really will be covered in something that looks like clay. They will look like statues. And so when the dancers saw this, they were amazed. And I asked them if they're excited, and they were going, you know, crazy about it. So this is the first shoot of the series. And because we've had to push it back, obviously, you know, because of the calendar and other things. But so this is the first one. It's going to happen this weekend. That's why we met today. And it is already, I already know it's going to be amazing because the energy involved is over the top. The dancers understand it. The moms are amazing. The poses are fantastic. So as we're creating the series, you know, we'll be posting and doing things like that, submitting them to competition and accreditation and things like that. But that's what I'm working on. This is the first one. So there will be, like I said, four throughout the year. And that will just be, like, again, posting and featuring all over our website and other things for everyone to see it and enjoy it.
So are you a dancer?
You know what? No. I wanted to be. I wanted to dance so much, but, you know, back then it didn't, you know, back then we, you know, I couldn't. And it was okay, but, you know, just throughout the years, I watched them, I photographed them. I have just such a respect for the amount of time and, you know, dedication that they have. Because, like me, they understand that dance for a dancer is not this thing that you do or a thing that you kind of try for a few years. If you're a true dancer, like I'm a true photographer, it's your lifestyle. This is forever. And they're so young. They're so, like, this year's team is a young age. These girls understand. So I'm getting excited. Can't wait to show the world what we create.
A couple things I was going to ask you is, are you ever going to exhibit these pieces, you know, like print them, exhibit them, put them in one of the local galleries after we do open up? And it must be difficult for dancers who, like, part of the dancing is movement to do it. And I know Flo Ziegfeld back in the Ziegfeld Follies, he actually did something similar. He did women actually very scantily clothed as statuary on stage in a live show, and they did not move, and that was kind of the thing. So, but do you ever think about exhibiting?
You know what? I would absolutely love to put them on, you know, a show and exhibit them. And there's a few places that I was thinking about. So we'll get to that point. But that is something that I would love because, again, I believe in the power of print. That is one thing about my studio is that I don't just hand people over files and send them on the way because I don't believe that's truly taking care of somebody. And this, again, comes from my background. So with this, all of these dancers, they're going to receive the printed portraits of these. And I would like them printed very large so that others can see them. And, yeah, I would love to have a show of this. And it would be amazing. It's very emotional.
Well, Esther has a gallery, so that could be something you could down the road when we're reopened. Real quick, we only have about a minute left here, Michelle. Tell us a little bit about how COVID-19 has impacted you and everything.
You know what? During it, I think we were kind of shocked and, you know, not really sure what to do. We took a good 2 weeks, you know, when we closed to just kind of get our bearings. But right away, because I have a Facebook group actually called Photography is My Lifestyle, and it's for serious studio owners. And we discussed things, and I started a mastermind group. And every week that we've met, every Monday we have met, logged in and Zoom, discussed what we wanted to do with our studios, because none of us were willing to just give up. And so I stayed in, you know, we all discussed ideas and things we could all do in the future and ways to safely reopen and stayed on all the guidelines. And so with me, you know, that was a blessing. It was great to be with, you know, other professionals like that. And then, you know, moving forward, you know, with our clients, I mean, it really helps stay in touch with everyone, keeping everybody updated, keeping everyone thinking about, you know, their families and that kind of thing and portraits. So it's weird. It's like in the beginning, we were really upset about it. And then I think something pretty amazing happened because of it. So,
well, we're going to have to wrap it up.
Everyone gets on track and everyone remains healthy.
Well, we're going to have to wrap it up there. Michelle, it's been a pleasure having you. That's Michelle Centelic. And you can find her on the web at michellecentelicphotography.com. Also on Facebook, Centelic Studio. Welcome to Art in the Air. We appreciate you being on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM.
And I'm pleased to welcome to Art on the Air the one and only Etta Taylor from Etta Taylor Photography. She's a fine art photographer, does mostly portraiture, but other things located in Crown Point. Etta, welcome to the show.
Hello. Nice to have you.
Welcome.
We are so happy to have you. Tell us a little bit about what inspired you to get into photography, your background, and how you got interested in fine art and that led to photography.
Yeah, actually, as you see on my bio, I had a very artistic grandpa. My French, we call it grandpapa. And since I was maybe 4 or 5, he started teaching me. He used to collect all kinds of pottery and paintings. But paintings was my most important thing that I like to see. And I learned, as young as I was, what was an impressionist painting, and also a chiaroscura, highlight shadows. As young as I was, I could see a picture. I could start to see that. So he thought I was very artistic. My family, I think my grandpa had like 12 grandchildren. I was the only one that would stay with him. And teaching, I was so lucky to have somebody like that in my life. And he wanted me to go and study at the Beaux-Arts in Paris. Instead, I got married very young. So I came to America. But I continued my education. I was homeschooled at home. I speak 5 languages. And I continued my education in photography. But one thing I found out about photography, the only thing is right now you have everything on the internet. You could see that. What you're missing is the soul of photography. And right. I'll talk to you about that. Who taught me that?
And what impressionists actually you love that kind of inspired you?
Well, see, the thing is what I found out about photography. Okay, I came to America and I was doing pictures. I took lessons about painting and everything. But then when I discovered more about photography, what I liked photography, at that time I thought that was a democratic art. In painting, you could take somebody who's short, make him tall, make him thin, make him sad, make him pretty, make him ugly, and so forth. To me, unless you work in and you're painting nature, you can't, change that. I notice all those portraits. That's why I like the impressionist better. Because see, the impressionist stopped doing all that glorifying of him. He started when outside, he started to paint the way nature was. So I thought photography to me, I was so impressed. You could capture the soul of that person right there in his wheel. Although now, with digital, you could make people short, the same thing,
Yeah, but that's true.
That's what really impressed me about photography. So I studied every photographer from Evanston, Arnold Newman, Irving Park, Gordon Park. Gordon Park is another photographer. People don't talk about it. He's the first African-American photographer to be in Time Life magazine. He was so unusual, and I studied for him. Actually, I had a chance to interview him, and he passed away. But he photographed Jacqueline Carey. He did Muhammad Ali. He did all kinds of things. Plus, he also was, he made the music for Chef. He used to say music, piano, everything. People like that really get it. You see, so people think a camera is makes you a photographer. It's not. It's you. Anyway.
Very good. Now, you also worked as a receptionist for one of the local photographers here. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
About what?
You worked as a receptionist for one of our local great photographers.
So when I came to America, I wanted to be home with my children, and I didn't want to go out of my house again. So in the meantime, we had a neighbor. His name was John Jolas. I don't know how many people know about him, but at that time, he was the biggest studio in Northwest Indiana. And he said, why don't you come and be my receptionist? I went. I said, sure, when my children are going to kindergarten, I could walk to the studio. I looked what he was doing. He was a wonderful man, a wonderful photographer. And he said one day, he says, you know, Ada, why don't you, when I go to lunch, do passport? I said, sure, I'd love to. So I started doing passports, but when I was doing passports, I started styling people, fixing their hair, their clothing. I moved the light, and people wanted to order the passport. Actually, one day, one lady told me, if you do all of this for a passport, what if I come for a portrait? What do? I said, oh, we do shampoo the hair and all that. And she started to laugh. And so Mr. Jolas, I would call him Mr. G, he says, Ada, why don't you go to school to get a regular education on photography? Because see, photography is 2 things. It is a craft and an art.
Right.
So it's even worse than even for painting. You have to learn all of that. But really, now the cameras do everything. I have my little granddaughter that does fabulous things. She's only 8. But you have to go. So I went. He says, you know, I'm part of PPOA, Professional Photographers of America, and they have the oldest school in America in Winona Lake. Indiana. Why don't you go there? So I went my first course. My mother-in-law was taking care of my kids. It was 1 week at a time. Unfortunately, that school is no longer there. And what we did is we stayed there, and then we photographed, we breathed photography, we took photography all day. But some of the best photographers of the United States will come so kindly and do a week long at a time. Everybody impressed me, except the one that really got to me was Jeffra Bakker. Jeffra Bakker was almost 80 years old, and I thought at that time, I thought, oh no, we're going to have another old photographer that all those poses. I didn't like the posing, you know, and all that. Actually, he started to talk, and it was nothing about F-stop or anything like that. He talked what really got to my heart. First of all, he said, do you know what photography means? Where does it come from? Nobody knew. He said it comes from Greek. Photo means light. And graphy means to write or paint with light. I thought that's what I wanted to do. That's what I was looking with my camera. I wanted to do painting, but I wanted to do painting with light. And she started expressing to us, join us, what really photography is. And then one of our teachers there was from Oklahoma. He was doing also the seminar in Oklahoma. And he would choose so many students to go there and study with him. I was lucky I could go there, and he taught us what is it called? Painting with light on photography. It's the same concept that I have when you learn how to paint. You know, you learn color, texture, shape, scale, all the stuff that, I don't know if you paint, Larry, also, but all the things that you use, you learn to instruct your eye to see that. And the most important part, actually, in photography is the soul of who you photograph. And thanks to so many other photographers there, I become then an intern there. I would go in the summer, and we had different camera rooms, and every photographer had a different style. I was so lucky that I would go and set up the lights for this photographer and the other photographer in another style. That's what I like. And that's what I teach, you know, not to imitate, but to innovate.
Well, you ask if I painted, and I don't. But my other career, of course, is not only directing theater, but as a lighting designer. And much of the things with light being
there you are.
As a lighting designer, you paint a three-dimensional area with light. You paint the actors, the scenery, and things like that. So that's then my allied area. You studied at Winona. Where else did you study photography? I see on your bio you had several other places you went.
We lived in Chicago. My children were long in Chicago. I also went to beauty school because I wanted to, anything that makes beauty, I was interested. I was interested in makeup. I went to Paris and I, of the Forum du Maquillage, and I also become a makeup artist. With all the stuff that I did, helped my photography different than other people. That's what I try to explain. You know, now you care. In photography now, you bring a makeup artist, you bring a stylist and all that. And then another lady that I read her book, and I went to Atlanta, and she had a book about the psychology of color. That was, you probably, well, you know, any artist will understand how we are, what color makes your mind, you know, when you make a photo, how to put the background that goes with that person's face, so forth. So that is, I just love color.
Now, let me ask you about the transition from film to digital and how that's influenced, if it has, your style at all.
Very much so. You know, actually, I have an article here. If you like, I can tell you a few things that I wrote. You know, I was very lucky. I was the customer of Dan Burrell Lab, and he let me go around the country, represent his lab, and I did seminar about that. And I had a program called Love, Dream, Imagine, Create, and Believe. And then love is loving what you do. Dream is follow your dream. Imagine is use your own imagination and create something that comes from your soul. And then believe is to believe that you can create and do what you love. But then I wrote that down. What made me be a professional photographer? And I realized to be a professional photographer, you possess, you have to possess the two traits, which are for any art, passion and compassion. So once you have that, then you have that to do that. So then I wrote this 2 years ago. I bought my first digital camera. I was not happy. I resented this technology because I love my old camera so much. Then I decided to practice what I wrote. Suddenly a whole new world opened for me. Digital actually offers endless possibility, including new lenses, new paper, blah, 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 and different things. So I was in love again. But I took a year to test the, because the film, and the way the film, I mean, the camera with the film is differently than the digital. Digitally, you can change it.
Did you used to develop your own film?
I did at the beginning, yes. But you have to have, you know, color, not color. I learned how to do black and white.
Yeah,
color,
I did.
You have to have all this, you know. But what I did is because Burrell Labs down the street from me, I would go there and they let me work with the artists there and tell them that this, do that, do that. So they knew how I wanted my background in film. Because, see, like I said, you have to have the craft. That's where the craft comes. When I first came in my camera, I would take picture, and I thought it looked so beautiful. But then under certain lights, the people would look green. It was very difficult at that time. I had an RB. It was a big camera. And you had to learn all of that. So I learned all of that, what kind of different things that you put in front of your lens. But then when I went to digital, it was raw, and it was very harsh. So it took me a year to keep testing and testing the digital to make it the way I did with film. So now when I have people in my studio, they can tell the difference between film and digital.
You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM.
Do you do your own post-processing, and what do you use for that? Do you use Photoshop, Lightroom?
Yeah, we have Photoshop. I have a girl that works for me, and I tell her what to do, and we have all this stuff, yeah.
Very good. You don't do your own retouching, then. You have someone else do it for you. And just to tell you, I spend more time doing that myself. In fact, I sometimes enjoy post-processing the photo that I've worked on than actually doing the photo and everything. Now, and I'm concentrating more on scenics and wildlife right now. But, yeah, that there's something fun about doing that.
I know how to do it, too. I do. But really, that doesn't interest me. My interest is more I want to spend more time capturing people. And, you know, the digital, everything is done for you now. Really, it's not what it used to be at the beginning. Now we have one program that you do that and opens the eyes, does that, wipes the key, all that.
So who takes your photo?
I set up the lights, and the one that you see, that my son took it.
Okay.
They click doesn't make you a photographer, you know, it's how to set it up, right?
It's true.
Yeah, that's the majority of doing a studio thing is getting all the lights and or flash units set up correctly. So you have a, you know, I remember seeing some things where people preset the thing. I said, well, actually, that's the majority of the work. Clicking the shutter is not necessarily the whole thing. So
in your commercial client list, how did it come about that you were photographing the powwows?
That's my favorite thing to do. That, and also I do the powwow. I have a friend who writes, she's writing a book on the Miswaki American Indian tribe in Iowa. It's a wonderful tribe. They came all the way from Canada, and there were thousands. And at the end, there were only, I think, a couple of thousand. Now they're in Iowa, and the chief, who is quite old, she's writing his history. And so she said, Ella, why don't you come with me? And then you take the photos, and it's going to be a book. And I photographed hundreds of American Indians, and it just touches my heart. You see them?
Yep.
How proud.
They're beautiful. They're beautiful photos.
Well, it's going to be a book. I have just beautiful, the children. And to tell you the truth, the thing that really impressed me, they also do a music, you know, there. And the, oh, by the way, the powwow is not only the Miswaki. Powwow means they do them around the country, and they come from different tribes, and then they compete. So some of those, they're not, they are Cherokee and so forth. They all have different traits, very, very proud. But really what impressed me is how much they love America after what happened to them. They love America, and then they do a music, the music for the dead, and then that's for all the soldiers for the war that didn't come back. And that includes, you know, that so many of them went to Vietnam, and they are in there, and they come, they march. It's beautiful. I just was so impressed of the attitude. The thing that I like to do is, you know, I mean, I've been doing that for 20 years. I'm working with the Leon's Triathlon, and he started that, you know, doing triathlon in Indiana. Now, most of it is for our all the people from, I was going to say, for all the veterans. And it's all the new veterans. And
yeah, I love the, I really love those triathlon photos. They were really great.
And that's also when I'm doing a book, just people to see that would break your heart. And they come in, and did you know there's one lady, she's a journalist, and she was pregnant and did the triathlon with one leg. Can you imagine? She swam with one leg. She ran with one leg. She, everything with one leg. And then there's people that have no legs, and then they do the bicycle, you know, with their hands. And then if they have legs and so forth, you know, I mean, it's, and what I like is to see people that are not bitter. They believe in America, and it's wonderful.
And let's talk about your portrait photography. I know one of the hallmarks of what you do, of course, you're located in the courthouse in Crown Point and have your studio in Suite 304, but you use the entire building. Besides using regular traditional studio setups, you also use window lights a lot for many
of
your portraits.
That's my favorite way to photograph. It's the painting with light. And I have to tell you, 2 years ago, you know, somebody told me there is a contest of Hoosier Women Artists.
Right, the Indiana Arts Commission.
Right.
Right.
So I thought I answered it. Would you believe I won? I went, you know, if you're chosen, I think 360 artists. And I think the ones that won, I think there was about like 40 or something are chosen. And I was one of them. And they thought my picture that I entered actually was a watercolor because it was, you know, the way I do my photos. And all of them were painters, you know. And that's very sad that photography really is not as made important.
I guess there seems though this year there were quite a few photographers that...
Oh, did you go?
I did, yes. Were you there this year?
No.
No. You were back in the year before, right, 2018?
Yes.
Was it with what was the image?
It's an image of a little girl that I photographed. We have, there is a building in Crown Point. It's called your old nurse's home. I'm on the board there.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to renovate it to make it into an art center. Actually, it's going to be not only dance, you know, it's given to us, was given to us through Indiana Ballet Theater.
Right, with Gloria.
With Gloria, yes. I think you had Gloria and, that's what I took that picture. It was a little, I think she was 8 years old with the violin. And it's a beautiful photo. And he hangs there for a year. But what's really funny, we, all the artists would come and they said, oh, what did you use? This is a watercolor, you know.
So, Etta, if people want to get in touch with you, they can go to EttaTaylor.com. Is that correct? And they can see your things on the website. And you're also on Facebook at Etta Taylor Photography, which is spelled with ends with an I-E instead of the traditional spelling. Is that correct? I said your website is EttaTaylor.com, and they can also find you on Facebook at Etta Taylor Photography, correct? And if you're mostly doing portraits and besides the things that, but what do you like to do for fun in terms of photography?
Actually, right now I'm doing a lot of commercial work now.
Okay.
I have an associate now, Royce Photography, and we're photographing hospitals, dental, law firms. We go on location for websites. So we're working on the commercial side.
I've seen some of that work also. So... tell us in just a few minutes here that we have left that what you think, what are you looking forward to do? And one thing I wanted to ask is about the COVID-19 thing, how that's impacted you and what you're looking forward to doing after that's over with.
Well, I'm going to continue what I'm doing because right now I cannot photograph people with masks, right? But it's funny, though. I have people still calling me and telling me when they can come. Again, I have a lady that's going to have a baby, and she wants to be photographed before the baby's born. And she wants to know when I'm, you know. So thank got everything's okay. People still, I think we should go back doing what we do, what we all love, what we're doing. What do you think?
Oh, I agree. I think, and we're starting to do that. I found our Chesterton photographer, Trent Albert, which you might know. He's doing front porch photography right now as a donation to things. So he's going on having people do their portraits from the front porch. So it's at a distance. So
wonderful.
It is. It is. Well, you know, a couple things real quick. And I know you say, you know, photography is a craft, but it's also an art. And there are kind of two types of photographers in my book. There's an artistic photographer who masters the craftsmanship. And this is what I call sometimes equipment photographers. Oh, look, I got this lens. This is that. It's all about equipment, but not really, really not about taking it. And I don't know if you've seen that in your travels.
You know, even Leonardo da Vinci said, you don't paint features, you paint what's in your mind. That's the same thing in photography. It's how you see people, you know?
Exactly. Just wrapping up here, Etta, any places that you are still doing classes or seminars at?
Well, right now, not at this time. You know, also, that's a long story, too. I started a school in the Bahamas with a professor of photography in the Bahamas. And I was going to go, I go there once a year, and people come from around the world. And I'm not only the only one, because the climate is so beautiful there, and they come in and we do seminars there. So that's my favorite place to teach.
Would you ever want to do that in the courthouse? I mean, people would probably come all over to come see your
things. I did that, but the problem is, to tell you the truth, right now there is 500 part-time photographers. So the studios didn't think that's a great idea. You know, I was teaching also at Purdue classes. They would come to my studio and with William Eaton, another photographer, and I would teach that. The thing is, everybody wants to do it very fast. And I think everybody, if you want to get into photography, you should have a little more education in what photography is about. And that's what I teach, that part. So a lot of photographers just want to learn what app I'm going to use and, you know, things like that, which is not the purpose of art.
I agree. Well, I think we're going to have to wrap it up there. We could have gone on for a long time. This is Etta Taylor from Etta Taylor Photography. You can get in touch with her at ettataylor.com. She's located in Crown Point in the courthouse on Suite 304. So thanks so much for being on Art in the Air, Etta. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for asking.
And we'd like to thank our guest today for being on Art in the Air, which is heard every Friday at 11 a.m., rebroadcast Monday at 5 p.m., and Sunday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. Your hosts are Larry Breckner and Esther Golden. Thanks again to Greg Kovach, WVLP's station manager, and Tom Maloney, Vice President, Radio Operations for Lakeshore Public Radio. Underwriters for Art in the Air are Valparaiso University's Brower Museum and Walt Brettinger of Paragon Investments. Also, Mary Levan is our art patron supporter. Art in the Air is supported by the Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project Grant and the National Endowment for the Arts. If you're interested in being a guest or send us information about your arts-related event, exhibit, please email us at artontheair@gmail.com. That's artontheair@gmail.com. See you right here next week, 103.1 FM and 89.1 FM, Art on the Air.
Aloha, everyone. Have a splendid week.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the Air today. Stay in the know with Mary and Esther. Art on the Air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.